In a few more hours I shall succeed you in that track, cousin, thought I. I too have a coach to meet at Whitcross. I too have some to see and ask after in England before I depart for ever. It wanted yet 2 hours of breakfast time. I filled the interval in walking softly about my room and pondering the visitation which had given my plans their present bent. I recalled that inward sensation I had experienced, for I could recall it, with all its unspeakable strangeness. I recalled the voice I had heard. Again I questioned whence it came as vainly as before. It seemed in me, not in the external world. I asked, was it a mere nervous impression, a delusion? I could not convince or believe. It was more like an inspiration. The wondrous shock of feeling had come like the earthquake which shook the foundations of Paul and Silas's prison. It had opened the doors of the soul's cell and loosed its bands. It had wakened it out of its sleep, whence it sprang trembling, listening, aghast. Then vibrated thrice a cry on my startled ear and in my quaking heart and through my spirit, which neither feared nor shook, but exulted as if in joy over the success of one effort it had been privileged to make, independent of the cumbrous body. "Ere many days," I said, as I terminated my musings, "I will know something of him whose voice seemed last night to summon me. Letters have proved of no avail. Personal inquiry shall replace them."